Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3.
Yes! This is the Buckeye Show.
Presented by Schottenstein Roofing. For top quality and a price match guarantee, visit schottensteinroofing.com.
All right, here we go on a nice little Tuesday episode. Hope everybody's doing well out there in Buckeye country. We got the Bode Man back there. I'm Timmy Hall, and right here, once again, to my right, your friend and mine, he's Tyvis Powell, everyone.
Oh, Timmy, just day two of my 7 day at the fans.
This is great. Man, that's a lot of work.
You know what? It's going to be great. Bode, you should do it with me. You should come every day this week.
Bodie's full-time now. Do you guys know that?
I'll be here 6. I'm not going to be here Sunday. Sorry, Tyvis.
Why not?
What are you doing on the 6th day?
That's the day of the Lord, Tyvis. That's why.
That's Notre Dame Day.
That's good.
We keep holy.
Tee to green Saturday morning.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Still working out with Skip.
Yep.
But
Jacob will be here, so I just get to chill.
The two Jacobs.
Tell him, good job, Jacob. Do that again.
How's he doing?
Good. Great, even, actually.
Oh, wonderful.
I told you guys yesterday, I was pretty late Saturday morning this last week because the Cap City Marathon had me all blocked off in Columbus. So
he
until just a few minutes before.
Wait a minute.
And everything was all set up, ready to go.
He's another young employee that we have here at the Fan.
Bode,
his name is also Jacob. His name is Jacob Reimer, so we call him Rhyme Time.
No, we should call him Jacob, just like we should call Bode Jacob.
You do call him Jacob.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So Jacob,
true to that.
How does it feel to be in a position of power?
I don't know if I would describe my position of power, considering that if you were to rank everybody 1 to whatever, I'm a hell of a lot closer to whatever than I am 1.
Bode has done a nice job. We love having the Bode Man. And yeah, I don't know if I announced that to the masses, but our guy, Bode Wells, about, what was this, 2 weeks ago now? 3 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
Yeah, it's felt like he's been there already, but on paper, this was a big thing where he was officially made a full-time employee of the Fan. So, very good job. He's a hard worker. The show is better when he is a part of it, and you know, doing the show for as many years as I have, it's good to feel comfortable with the cast of characters that's around, and Bode's always done a good job of keeping things in line. So congratulations.
Thank you, Timmy. I appreciate it.
Yep. Now lose all the Notre Dame crap.
I'll be fired before that happens. Let's just call it what it is.
Well, if he gets a raise, he can afford to now get some OSU gear.
No raise.
Oh, there wasn't no raise.
I just said.
Less pay, actually. More hours, less pay.
I just said full-time distinction. He'll actually be losing money when you take a look at it on the bottom line. Tyvis got a show dedication for tonight. The show is dedicated to my lovely wife, the nurse, Sarah Hall. Yes, it is our 14th wedding anniversary.
14.
Yes.
Congratulations,
14.
Timmy.
And obviously I posted that photo up there on my Twitter and X account, and that was not a picture of the two of us from yesterday. That was way, way, way back there at the beginning. That was from before we were even married. We were at a friend's wedding in that photo, and we were thin and we were looking good.
You knew it.
Looking hot.
And it was at that point you knew she was the one.
Oh, we already knew that. She'd already moved to North Carolina with me, all the way from Kansas.
I
think we were set.
One of my friends just asked me that yesterday or 2 days ago. They was like, when did you realize that your wife, when Lauren would be your wife? And I said, that's funny. Like 4 months after I met her. Like 4 months after mm-hmm. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely, we were still at KU when I figured we'd be together for the long haul. And then once you start taking a couple of those steps, like the living together, I think
that's the biggest one.
Living together was a great deal. And I don't know how everybody does it, to each their own.
Yes.
We thought it was a sensible thing to get the apartment, do some real life.
Yes.
Get a dog together. All that kind of stuff, right?
Same thing.
And we did that. We had jobs. So we were, you know, we hadn't obviously had a kid yet. So we were just step by step, seeing how it was going.
And look at you. 14 years later, and the fire is still burning.
It is. It's fun. It's life. There's challenges that pop up. Everybody's got them, mm-hmm. right? Some are worse than others. But you just, I mean, some people's challenges are worse than others. You know what I mean? You can't control what happens, you know, sickness, what things that happen, but it's just been a good run, and you take everything on as it comes along. And I will say this too, and I know you can attest, Tyvus, being, you know, traveling around for your football career, but me being able to do this, like there was the point that the step that got me out here to Columbus, I could not have done it if she wasn't with me and completely supportive and being willing to move anywhere I needed to go or anywhere I wanted to go.
Yeah.
And that was a great thing. And I'll always be grateful for that.
I feel the same way about my wife.
That's good.
Lord knows the way my career went. Oh, we was doing some moving around, and she was with me every step of the way. And you know, it's nice to always have that person that still believes and support your dreams and never doubts you. So, shout out to my wife as well. This will be year 4 for us in October, marriage wise. But I would have been with her for 9 years.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice. All right. Well, to the wives. Take a bow. We can't do it. We can't do it without them. And I love you, Sarah. We're going to do a nice dinner afterwards. Do you think I'm wearing this? I'm wearing the Ohio State team handball tracksuit, the full-on tracksuit, the red top with the black pants. You think I'm wearing this, or was I a good boy and did I bring a extra set of clothes?
Well, it all depends on where you're going. That's the real question. Where are you going?
If we're going to Dave and Buster's, yeah, then I think
I'm
fine.
Good. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you want to be comfortable, right? When you're running around.
At the end of the day, Tim, no matter where you go, as long as you got the green, they'll be fine. When that check come out and they pay it,
you're right.
That's all that
you're
matters.
Right. I mean, there aren't very many places that are so nice.
Yeah.
Like what is the eating out dress code? It's got to be few and far between, right? Where you got to be wearing
like business casual, like right, polo, but and
where you actually have to wear a jacket or a tie if you're a man, right?
No.
You got to be at a nice country club, like an old style place for that.
But even there,
you can go to many steakhouses. I could probably wear this into most steakhouses out there, right?
As long as you got
a $100 meal.
As long as you got the money to pay. That's all that
matters. Does your money work?
Yeah.
Right. that is the most important thing. Oh, buddy. As we turn it into the football portion of the show, we were talking on our call this morning. What's got you more confident when you look at the offense and the defense? Mm-hmm. A lot of this leans towards the defense,
I understand it,
and I think that's where I am too, Tyvus.
I guess because on defense, you've seen it a year ago. You know, they were, top 5 defense in the country, and then you got all these people returning. Now, don't get me wrong. The linebacker position is the question mark, which is the heart and soul of the defense. They're the leaders of the defense. The middle linebacker usually sets the thing. And having Tommy there always, you know, was a relief. You knew at the end of the day that defense would play hard because Tommy would make sure he demanded it out of those guys. When you look on the offensive side of the ball, they got Chip Kelly, and they got Ryan Day, two of the best offensive minds in this game together. You got Brian Hartline, the best wide receiver coach in the country. You got a line that's starting to come together, but I just think it's so many different question marks. You got to figure out the rest of the line, the quarterback position, and then you got all of these weapons that you got to try to utilize. And a lot of the times, it's nice to have a bunch of weapons.
Okay, though. So you say that about Chip, and obviously, I'm not going to discount a coach of his caliber,
right?
And I do enjoy the fact that he gets to come in and take more of a, not like he's taking a back seat making $2 million and he's the offensive coordinator.
Must
and he's
nice.
Going to get handed the keys to this offense for the most part. So we think that's how this is going to go.
I don't see why he wouldn't.
But therein lies a question. How is this really going to go? You know, between Ryan Day and Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me there's not going to be any bumps once they actually get into real game mode and figuring each other out and what the process is like, that they're just going to hit game one and it's going to be completely smooth, no issues whatsoever. I'm sorry, but coaching together for the first time, There's going to have to be some kind of acclimation period, right?
It's not the first time they coached together.
But you know what I mean. But in this kind of spot, this big position.
The part that the adjustment that has to be made is really a Ryan Day adjustment. Because
Will he do that? Will he do that seamlessly?
He got on this staff, what, 2017, 2016, 2017?
Yeah, it was something like that.
So he's been calling the plays since that time. Now, for the first time, he's completely hands off. Like that's going to be hard to do. Like you're eager. Your body is used to putting the headset on and pulling that sheet up and calling the plays.
It's just there's more continuity with Jim Knowles' defense. There's more continuity on that side of the ball than what there is on offense. It's not that they can't be one of the better offenses in the country. It's just that we're going to need them to show us.
Once they get clicking, I think they will look like a really good offense, and they might outshine the defense.
They should.
They got the talent to do so.
All right, Tyvus and I, we were having another really good discussion as he was driving back from Northern Ohio today about offensive plays that are just burned into your mind. If you've got some plays like that for you, throw them our way at the Buckeye Show on Twitter and X. And he's going to give us some great perspective as a defensive player watching some of those from the sideline. He'll share them next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Wake up with the Fan. Eat lunch with the Fan. Go to bed with the Fan. Dream about the Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan. Brutus is their homeboy. This is the Buckeye Show.
Rolling along here on a Tuesday. Hope you guys are doing well. By the way, we are sponsored by our friends at CareSource and by Schottenstein Roofing for top quality and a price match guarantee. Visit schottensteinroofing.com. I do have to tell you that we've got a new thing. We got a new thing going on here, and a couple of you tried to use this last night, and I was listening to a couple of the messages, and one of you, I didn't even get the name because it was dropout. It was almost like 1990 cell phones, like they were first starting, and it was just old-fashioned dropout, but the voicemail is up and running. We have a Buckeye Show voicemail that is ready for you to use right now, so please do. You got something, you got a Buckeye offensive play that's burned into your mind? Tell us about it. Just call us, 614-460-2896. We can be talking, we can be yammering away, and you can have your thought. You don't have to wait. You just call that and throw your thought out there. And then hopefully we can get it on the show. If it's good, you know, if it's terrible, then you try again, you know, and perfect the craft. And then we can start hearing some of your voices on the fine program here. But Tyvus, offensive plays,
yes,
that are burned into your mind. You've got a unique perspective because you were on the sidelines,
yeah,
as a defensive player, and that had to be so cool when you're I hope you were locked in and engaged and not just sitting way back there on the bench, not having a clue what's going on, especially in a pivotal moment of the game. But what are some of the ones that really come to mind?
Well, the good news is I actually did pay attention to my offense.
I know you did.
You know why? Because for one, we had a guy that was a human highlight reel back when I played. His name was Braxton Miller, and I got to watch Braxton do some incredible things.
You know,
like the first one that comes to mind is when we went to Penn State. I was a young guy. I was redshirted at this time, so this was 2012.
Oh, I believe I know the play.
Braxton gets the ball on the goal line, steps back on somebody, let the guy fly in front of him, jumps over the line and scores, and then gets up and hit the chest. And I remember just being like, this dude is crazy.
Oh, we went up an octave. Really? We're 622? We already raised Tyvus an octave?
Yeah, that's how it was.
Good.
Just Braxton just was like he made you spill your popcorn, you know?
Okay, I've got that play right here. That one lives in our system. Braxton. Do we have a name? Do we have a catchy name for that one? Is it like the leap, the jump touchdown?
I have no idea.
He lets Carlos Hyde get obliterated, right?
Did he really?
I believe so.
I gotta go back.
He's got the play fake and he keeps it in there.
He keeps it in there.
Carlos Hyde, boom, just gets knocked over like a truck. And then Braxton just runs in and jukes a guy and
takes
then he pops
all the glory.
Here we go.
Miller has Hyde to the right of him in the backfield. Snap to Miller. Now Miller with a football. He's in trouble at the 5. Runs straight ahead and leaps and lands in the end zone for a touchdown. Braxton Miller, as that play was almost blown up by Penn State. Miller ran into Hyde, circled around he and the defender, and Ohio State's lead now 20-10.
Listen very carefully. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to step on that. Was that Jim Lachey at the very end going, oh?
I'm telling you.
Listen very carefully. You can hear Skip Mossack yelling in the back of the press box. I believe this is his voice. I'm going to amp it up a little bit. Skip Mossack, the executive producer of the Ohio State Sports Network.
Miller has Hyde to the right of him in the backfield. Snap to Miller. Now Miller with a foot.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard
it. Yeah. Ah! I think that's when Hyde got blown up. He's like, oh, that play's dead.
That's pretty messed up. All right, Carlos. At least we got a touchdown, so it was worth getting blown up.
What other Braxton plays? Because that one's burned into a lot of fans' minds. That's just
another.
It's a 5-yard run, but that was pure Braxton.
Another one is when we played Indiana in 2013. The next year, we played Indiana. It was a home game.
Oh yeah,
I remember that one. Braxton ran towards the sideline.
Kenny G, baby,
and he must have thought he was going to get tackled, so he just said, "I'm gonna just jump," and he jumps over the guy, gets flipped, and scores a touchdown on the play, and gets up and does the wipe me down. I was like, "This man is must see TV." At that point, I was like, this guy's electric.
Well, Christian McCaffrey's the guy that uses that that move nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
When he gets about 10 yards of vision on you.
Uh-huh.
When he's got 10 yards of space, but someone's got the angle, he kind of like hits the little stutter, kind of fakes like he's going to lean inside.
Yeah.
The defender has to break down and honor that and respect it, and then pew, he just takes it right back to the outside. This was the Indiana reverse touchdown in 2013, Braxton.
Braxton Miller sent to the left, it looks like, along with Corey Brown. So Kenny Guyton at quarterback. Spencer and Fields are wide right. Second and goal, Ohio State at the Indiana 5-yard line. Guyton gets the snap, runs it. Now he hands it off to Miller, reversing around to the right. Miller with it at the 5. Miller at the 10 to the 5. Miller dives. He goes down at the goal line. And there's a touchdown signal for Braxton Miller. He scores on a flanker reverse pitch from Kenny Guyton. Braxton Miller. And Ohio State has gone up 20-0. Guyton pitches it to Miller, who comes in from a left flanker spot to run it in for a touchdown.
There was a long touchdown run. I think if you Google up Braxton Miller, there's going to be an 80-yarder. Might have been was it the same football game?
I think it might have been, actually.
And I remember talking with Beam about that play because I want to say a defender on that Indiana defense went to, what would the high school have been? Centerville, possibly. That's where Beam went.
Yeah.
You know, the cradle of Ohio State legends that went there. Fan legends like Chops and Beam, and Buckeye legends like Nuge and AJ Hawk.
Mike Bennett.
Yeah, yes, Mike Bennett, Beam's good friend. But that was the Braxton play where he could stretch his legs and take it the distance while breaking you down in the middle of the run. Yeah. And just make you look goofy, make you look completely stupid.
He was special.
Oh, man.
He was special.
I'll take you to 2017. Folks that have listened carefully over the years, this is a play from Dwayne Haskins that I'm particularly fond of. This was a dart when he had to take over for JT Barrett in the Cameragate game.
The camera case.
You would have thought in Urban Meyer's head after the game that it would have been logical for the FBI to investigate how JT Barrett could have gotten bumped by some personnel on a crowded football field. That's how distraught he was afterwards. But Dwayne Haskins comes into this game, makes some big plays, and then he is faced with a third down and 13 on a drive that has to continue. Absolutely has to continue. I brought the Gus for you.
Third down and 13 at the 47. Haskins delivers. And what a catch and what a throw. Austin Mack somehow held on. But Haskins put that ball between two defenders.
The bone-crunching hit.
I wanted to say, did you hear that?
I can't remember who the Michigan DBs were, but my goodness, all three of them got rocked. There wasn't anybody that got out of that deal. You know, it was both Michigan guys crunched each other, the safety in the corner, and Austin Mack sandwiched in between. And there's no reason that he should have or could have held onto that ball.
He did.
It might have hit him so hard that, like when Iron Man like shocks the guys and they can't open their hands because they're just stuck closed, like clenched like a claw.
Wasn't that like third? What was it?
Third and 13.
Yeah.
The play had to be made, and that was just a bullet down the sideline.
And I think
it was a perfect pass.
That ultimately led to him beating Joe Burrow because at the end of the day, he had a game rep where he must had it.
We'll do some more of these because I know there's a very, very high profile game that Tyvus had a really good vantage point from the sidelines. Talking about some Ohio State offensive plays that are burned into your mind. Throw them our way at the Buckeye Show on Twitter and X. And of course, you can call the voicemail 614-460-2896. More coming up. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Buckeye Talk and the latest updates on Ryan Day's beard. You're listening to the Buckeye Show.
Timmy and Tyvus on a lovely Tuesday. All you fine Buckeye fans talking about some offensive plays that are burned into our minds. We will never forget them. We'll get right to it. First, I want to tell you about my boys, my guys at Tri-State Men's Health. You see, Tyvus, it's my anniversary tonight. It's an anniversary special.
Okay.
We've got to be on our game.
Yes, you do.
We've got to be on it. If there was an issue, I'd have to get it looked at, right? Erectile dysfunction, that can be a relationship destroyer. You've got to have erectile function, especially on a big night like an anniversary night. We got to keep things strong. We got to keep things going. And you know, it's one of these things where you don't like to talk about it. You understand why, but you got to just break through that. If you can remember that first time you couldn't perform in the bedroom, oh man, maybe you tried to laugh it off, but no, inside you were probably dying. No big deal. Don't let it get to that. Tri-State Men's Health can help. They've got some treatments with success rates over 90%. Some can have you last an hour or more. That'll get the job done. That'll be longer than dinner. Okay. So give them a call, 800-900-9654. Go to tristatemenshealth.com. Take a look around the website. See what they can do for you. You go and get that consult. The initial visit is just $99. You can get a test dose in the office. And if it doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. So, I mean, don't do this. Don't like fake it. You could just, you know, fake it there and then they'll just give you the visit for free. I wouldn't recommend that. Honesty is the best measure.
Yes.
But check them out. TriStateMensHealth.com. Lovely locations right here in Central Ohio. The one in Hilliard right off of 270 and Cemetery Road that I go to. And in Westerville. Tell them Timmy Hall sent you. All right. We're getting some voicemails rolling in here tonight. Good to see. Love to see it. It's there for you to use. 614-460-2896. Tyvus. We didn't talk any plays in the 2014 season. Can you believe it's 10 years now?
That's wild.
It's the 10-year anniversary here of the title season.
It's time for another ring, too. It better not take another 12 years.
This has to be it, right?
Yes.
10 years? Exercise the demons? Close calls?
It took 12 years between 2002 to 2014. It can't be 20. We can't wait to 26.
I'd like to... You know, get our Bama or get our Georgia on just once.
Yeah.
Just once here in the near future.
Just roll it.
Where we don't wait 10 years, where we get a back-to-back at some point.
Well, you would think.
Get a lead going here, you know?
There's no time like the present. They've made it. The CFP has made it to where you'll actually be in it every year. You have a shot every year. Whether you win the game, whether you win the Big Ten, you should still be top 12.
No kidding. You have to be in the top 12. But we're talking about really exercising some demons and beating the right teams.
Yes.
I'm not looking to beat the best teams, Tyvus. I'm looking to beat the right ones. All right? You know who we're talking about.
And then
the best teams after that. First, the right ones, and then the best ones after that. You go back to 2014, though, and the walk up to the title. It's got to be that Bama game. Or the couple of plays. I think we know him.
Well, the first one was the Mike Thomas toe tap touchdown. That one was wild because
Halftime, right, Tyvus? Was going into right half?
I think it was. That one was wild because I remember I'm watching it. Like, this is one of the, this ain't the time to be sitting on the bench. Like, the offense is going down and they're about to score. So I want to see it. So I'm literally looking at the field, looking at the play. And when Mike caught the ball, it was so close that I couldn't tell. But I could tell from his energy that he was like, oh, that's a touchdown. So I remember the whole team, we all looked up at the same Jumbotron. And we all saw it and we just went nuts. Yeah. Like, oh my God, he got it. So that one was unbelievable. The energy, well, it was just a shift of energy. It was like, oh my God, here we go.
That one, and we'll talk about the other one that's got a label. The play's got a name, and that goes without saying. But that the Spencer to Thomas, it has to be burned into your mind because it's a receiver throwing a touchdown pass to another receiver, and it was a beautiful ball and a beautiful catch.
And if you ever ask him about it, he said they told him all week. So this is the thing about that play. When they ran it in the game, it was opposite because Spencer's right-handed. So when they ran the reverse, he was coming to the left, so he had to go cross-body. And when they practiced the play was flipped, where Spencer was coming from the left to the right.
Sure, I can understand that.
To his throwing hand.
Right.
So,
and he was rolling to the left, obviously, right? So he did have to stop and pivot and chuck it, making the throw all the more impressive.
So what makes it funny is when they ran it before, like either earlier in the season or in practice, he just tucked it and ran. He said, no, I'm not going to throw it.
Uh-huh.
But
I'm sure it was a good play, too.
Oh, yeah.
Probably got a first down.
He goes, in this game, he says, I'm throwing this no matter what. I'm throwing this ball. I don't care. And he throws a dime like that to where only Mike could get it. It was very impressive.
Let's hear that one.
Marshall motions into the backfield. Snap to Jones. Hands it Marshall. And it's reverse. Ball is given to Spencer, who throws left corner of the end zone. Caught for a pass to Michael Thomas. The official signal touchdown. Evan Spencer with a touchdown pass to Michael Thomas. Evan Spencer with his first pass attempt in his career. And Ohio State gets 6 points thanks to some trickery. They trail 21-19.
Still down.
I know.
It just was a weird script. You were marching the ball down the field and just finishing with field goals.
I know.
Right, getting inside the five, getting inside the 10-yard line, and then just kick a field goal.
But I just remember at halftime, it's like, Coach Meyer walks in. He says, y'all killing them on the yards. Y'all killing them. Don't worry, defense. Y'all hold on. Just hold them. I'm telling you right now, this offense got them figured out.
Good.
It's like, we're going to punch it in. Tom Herman walked in. We're going to score some touchdowns.
He had the positivity.
Oh, yeah.
As he should.
It was
as
like
he should
have. The whole locker room at halftime was like, oh, yeah, we can definitely beat them. Like, this is a game that we're going to win.
All right, so later on, you're looking for one of the knockout punches, right?
Yes.
Even though you did still have to make your play, and then you just carelessly ran the ball down the field.
It was my fault anyway that I had to make that play, because the drive before that, I had given up a double move, which
is really
Duran's fault, but I'm going to take the blame because Duran don't want to take the blame.
Don't point the finger, Tyvus.
Pull the thumb.
Yeah, pull the thumb.
That's what I said. It's on me.
Don't pull the finger.
If you know the defense, it's not me, but I'm going to be the one to take it. So
Zeke's 85.
Yeah.
What was it like? Like, describe before that play what you guys were chatting about.
So
what you could see out there.
So we knew we had to make a play, and when they ran this play, this Zeke play, if you go back and watch that, you got to look at Evan. Evan was standing there like, dude, motion me. Cardale was supposed to motion Evan, and he forgot to motion Evan. So Evan had to make this block, and I remember him coming down, like, making this block. And you see Zeke get the ball, but you see this linebacker just get blew up. You like, oh, and then Zeke just takes off, and Zeke is out of there. Once Zeke hit the overfield, you could just see it as Zeke out. You ain't catching him. He knew he was out of there. But what made that play so special is that it was a bust, but Evan made it right, and Evan made the play that actually won the game, but nobody actually pays attention to that part.
Oh, man. Here it was.
Jones resets in the shotgun, gets the snap, hands it to Elliott, who goes sweeping to the left side, gets to the 20, loose to the 30, to the 40, down the left side, to the 50 goes Elliott. He's going to take it to the house. 30, 20, 10, touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott. 85 yards.
Through the heart of the South. Put it on a t-shirt. Is that 11 Warriors thing?
I think it is 11
Is it theirs?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I think
if it's not, good job by them, because I think it's theirs.
Ooh, I just seen it. I just right. seen Evan on the play.
Okay, Tyvus is watching the clip that's playing on my screen. I mean, I for one think that most fans credit the blocking in the setup on this play.
Oh my
as goodness. Much as Zeke's afterburners. That just was a well-designed play and just some incredible wide receiver blocking. I will say this, Ohio State, through the years, even what, I mean, their skill has increased. The skill at the wide receiver position has gone nuts, yes. as we've seen in the last three, four cycles.
I'd agree.
But even since the beginning of that Urban Meyer era, you go all the way back, you know, 10, 12 years ago, the blocking from those wide receivers has always just been exceptional. Yeah. And it had to be in that Urban Meyer offense.
Because they ran the ball.
Yes, for it to be such a successful rushing attack, they had to be good at that. But there were so many committed blockers going back to, you know, even Austin Mack that we heard from.
It was
in a clip last segment. It was certainly one of the, Terry McLaurin, of course.
Yeah, it was one of the three. I can't remember if it was Chris, Garrett, or Jackson. One of them could block. Really, I want to say it was Chris. One of them blocked really well downfield and springed a lot of touchdowns for like running backs and stuff like that.
It's good, really good. Really good stuff. We'll get back to some of those in the second hour when we can get to your voicemails. We appreciate you guys chiming in and continue to do so. By the way, there's a little something that goes around and comes around in the world of college football recruiting. And you just got to do it. And we'll tell you how the Buckeyes are trying to do it right now. And we'll take you on the trail. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio's sports destiny.
Fan.
The best kind of power is star power. Let's go on the trail.
Sponsored by Whiskey War. By High Bank Distillery. Drink local. Drink High Bank.
Timmy and Tyvus, all you fine Buckeye fans, happy Tuesday. I just learned something 5 seconds ago I don't think I ever knew about our pal Tyvus. That, you know, he wanted to come to Ohio State. He was a Bedford, Ohio kid. And, you know, you can tell us like your quick version recruitment story again, Tyvus. But we're going to talk about, do you still take visits after you're committed just for the sake of doing it, going through the experiences. And you said you could have had a trip to visit the University of Hawaii,
yeah.
the Rainbow Warriors. Why would you not do that?
So the funny story about that one is that my coach, my high school coach, he never told me about it. That's the thing. He didn't tell me about it.
I guess matters if you don't know that you're invited or if you don't even know about it.
I asked him, why didn't he tell me? And he said, Tyvus, you was going to Ohio State no matter who came in.
Coach,
here.
It's not about that.
He said you was going anyway. So what difference did it make? I said, you're right. But still, if I could have taken a trip to an official visit to Hawaii to like just be out there, I would have done that just to see it. You know, at this time, I'm a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not saying that's going to, it's whatever you want to do, I think. This is a rare opportunity that you're getting in this life to be wooed by a lot of these schools that have tons of cash in their athletic department. And especially now where the game is starting to change a little bit to where you're going to get, it's even more interesting than it was.
Yeah.
Because the arms race is going to kick up to such an extreme level. We're going to talk a little bit more about this at the top of the 7 o'clock hour in the College Football Pulse, but take it, right? Like use it. I'm not saying use the schools, but just take what's allowed. Take what's allowed nothing more than that.
Listen, when you go to college, it was so many rules that restricted everything. You're only going to get this process one time, you know. Obviously, transfer portal, maybe that's different. I don't know. Do they take visits in there? I'm sure they do. But you only get
in the portal?
Yeah. You only get this experience.
You remember how Trey Townsend was you know, down here for the weekend and other guys that they were trying to get.
But you only get this as a high school kid. You only get this experience one time. So you might as well go ahead and take all your visits, you know, see what it looked like. You never know. You might find something. You might get there and you might feel like this is home. So, yeah, I encourage everybody to take their visits. Let them wine and dine you.
Oh, and?
Once you get on campus, they don't wine and dine you no more anyways.
Right. It's,
you meet the real version of
it's such a strange, you know, Jekyll and Hyde type of deal where you're the best friend and you're building them up and telling them they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then when they get here, goal line, that one.
Yeah.
that's what it's like. But that's the life.
You should know that, though. I think that as for a kid, you should want to be coached tough like that. I think that's because that shows that they see something in you and they believe in you, and it's their job to pull that greatness out of you. Like for me as a freshman, the best thing for me was having Coach Combs as my DB coach, because Coach Combs literally, and I'm not exaggerating this, he cursed me out every day. Every single day he found some reason to curse me out. But you know what? It made me better. It made me tough. It made me lock in, you know, and I needed.
Did he do that to every single player, though?
He did that to me.
He knew.
And then after I went and became a safety the next year, he always picked a freshman and did it to him. You know who was after me?
I am for coaching each individual the way that they need to be coached.
The next freshman that got harassed by Coach Combs after me, Eli Apple.
Well, maybe it didn't work the greatest on Eli.
Well, Eli became a first-round pick,
became a first-round pick, but if you see what, you know, the antics that you still get even to this day in the National Football League.
Eli is a funny guy.
But let me tell you, so the whole point of all this is that Ohio State, another phrase we use is dude flipping, and that goes on, and that just is what it is. Again, it goes around, it comes around,
yeah.
And you've got to participate because everybody else at the top of college football is. You can't cry about it when something happens, when you lose a guy, and Ohio State's not immune to that. They will lose commits. Yeah. We see it every single cycle.
Yeah.
But DeCorian Moore.
We had a dude flip on Saturday. He went to Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll continue to happen. It's hard out there. So, DeCorian Moore, high five-star talent. If you carefully follow the recruiting game, you would know that depending on the service, he's top 10 overall. One I'm looking at here in 24/7 Sports, the composite, he is number 3 overall in the country as a wide receiver. 5'11", 175 pounds. I'm sure he's terrific out of the slot or out wide, wherever you want to put him, with the things he can do with his physical traits, with his skill set. Something that Brian Hartline certainly would be after. He is a commit to LSU already.
No, where is he?
He is from Duncanville, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he is a Texas kid.
You know, we get down in Texas now. We get them players out of Texas.
Well, and the story goes is, reading this report from Land Grant Holy Land, and they took some things from Steve Wiltfong here, that he was in town this past weekend, and the more about the visit that comes out, the better that visit seems to have gone. He had mom with him. They were in town from Friday to Sunday, like you would if you're here. You're expressing interest in the Buckeyes, but he did not decommit from LSU, so that hasn't happened, but it did mean a little bit more, the fact that mom was here, and he was the only guy that was on campus. So it was kind of all hands on deck, was the word.
Oh, that's called the red carpet special.
Red carpet rollout.
Yeah, that's what
ludicrous.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got the, yeah, that's exactly what that means. He was by himself. Yeah, they wined and dined him. I wouldn't be shocked.
Another quick note, Eli Lee. Have you gotten to deal with Eli Lee much? He is already a commit, so he's a 3-star linebacker, and he just won the MVP of that Under Armour camp in Canton. Remember, we were watching a rep from that camp where another Buckeye target just rolled over a Notre Dame offensive lineman like he was on skates.
Roading.
Could have been Bodie.
Roading Bodie.
Playing tackle right there.
Straight grown Mandy.
Yeah.
if that young man is signed up to play offensive line in Notre Dame, I think he's going to be all right. I'm not too worried about
him. Oh, please. Just say the, let's just say the legs didn't feed the wolf on that one
rep.
They did
not. That's all right.
Both feet. He'll get it, he'll get it back.
Both feet.
But I don't know. Eli Lee winning an award like that, and you need three-star guys, too, right? You need guys that you can count on, guys that are going to be
the best players, Tim.
thank you very much. Yep. Johnny on the spot. You need to have some of those guys, right? And you never know what can come of them.
Three stars are players that I think very talented players still going to come in here and feel like they play with an edge because they like, oh, this guy's a five-star. Every time they go up against a five-star and they're a three-star, they're going to try to show them why they should have been a five-star. So you get a lot of edge with those guys. So I always like a three-star. I was a three-star myself. And that was my mindset. Anytime I knew somebody was a five-star, oh, it was on. Because I needed to show you, like, just because you a five-star don't mean nothing to me.
All right. We love doing this. We love doing these in this segment coming up. Big, big talking piece. Huge talking piece came down today. Something gigantic brewing in college sports. Nothing new, right? Just another day with the way that this game is going. We tell you what it could do. In the College Football Pulse next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destined. It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Carpenter Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electric. Need heating, cooling, plumbing, or electric? Call a carpenter.
Hour two of the Buckeye Show. Happy Tuesday. Call the Buckeye Show voicemail. Leave us a message, 614-460-2896. Anything on your mind about the team? You got a good thought? Make sure, as I was listening to some, please leave us your name. That's the one thing we ask. If you have a name we would like you would like us to call you, then put it in the voicemail there. And we can play some of these tomorrow throughout the rest of the week. That's the whole point of it. Bodeman, how are we feeling back there?
Tim, honestly, not been a great evening for me.
What happened?
I don't know if you guys saw, but last night after the Celts, as they went up 3-1, Porzingis got hurt. Now, I probably shouldn't complain because half the rest of the Eastern Conference is also hurt, but still, I don't know. I think Boston could still win the East without him, but we can't win whoever comes out of the West, so I'm kind of bummed about that.
Said it's just some games.
Look, Tyvus, you know how I feel about injuries. A bruise on the leg's a hell of a long way from the heart.
Well, at least your
calf strain scares me.
At least your player played because Giannis has yet to play.
I know,
postseason,
but that's the same injury Porzingis suffered. And
oh, really?
Yeah, it's a calf strain.
Well, you can cancel Christmas then. He's done.
Are you a basketball player or what?
Yeah.
Take that jersey off.
I am a hockey player.
I don't know what you're
Put
doing
your
right there.
Put your street clothes on, Kristaps. We got no time for quitters here.
Come on, Zinger. Yeah. I always knew you were lanky. Just another Anthony Davis out here.
Yeah, exactly.
I will tell you, though, do you think the Cavs are going to win tonight? Do you feel good about Tyvus's Cavs?
I don't feel good about either team in that series, honestly. It's hard to... Both teams have just...
They're not good on the road.
By blowouts in both games. Like, just absolute blowouts. It wasn't even close.
Neither team is good on the road, which, if that's the case, the Cleveland Cavs get the last say-so.
Well, the Cavaliers, they sign up to the Scotty Vegas school of thought. If you're going to suck, just suck. Don't lose by 20, lose by 40. Yeah. Why stop now?
Why bother?
Let's get to this big thing.
Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can.
Such a great movie. Switching to the pulse of college football here. The leaders of college sports are involved in deep discussions reach a legal settlement that would likely lay out the framework for sharing revenue with athletes in a future NCAA business model.
Here we go.
In this story from ESPN, the sources stress that no deal is imminent, but details about what a multi-billion, with a B, dollar settlement could look like are expected to be shared with campuses in the near future. There are plenty of variables to get to the finish line and still some obstacles and objections at the campus level, but sources did indicate that progress has ramped up in recent weeks.
This is one of those, Tyvus, where you're going to want to get the book light out or, you know, nestle into bed and open up some other articles and read you know, this site, that site for different, you know, opinions and slants on what this all means and where it's going. So you've got this, antitrust class action lawsuit, right? You've got the House, that just kind of the generic term, like everybody, the House versus NCAA. And the NCAA is the defendant in this case. And they, their lawyers and their experts are telling them that if they don't settle, if they let this go to court, if they let this go to trial in January of 2025, they could be liable to pay more than $4 billion in damages. So that's why Bodie reads the part, settlement. Settlement is the way, and it's still going to be big. It's still going to be big. But this is supposedly one of the things. Like, we heard Gene talking about this on that hour sit down, right, with Doug Lemaurice, as he's been on his way out. They did that thing over at the Fawcett Center, and they talked about a myriad of things, and this was one of them, the model, how Gene wants whatever we go to stay tied to academics, but he certainly doesn't seem to be, you know, shying away from the fact that this is going to be some kind of revenue sharing model, some sort of deal that's beyond just name, image, and likeness. Like we've been talking about this whole time. What do you think?
I think it's good that obviously the players is going to get paid and get some share of revenue. I mean, that's where it really hits, you know. Maybe since the school, if you're sharing revenue, that means the school is cutting the checks now. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I believe it's going to come from the checks. It's going to come from the schools. Here was an example. Texas A&M AD Trev Alberts, right? And Trev, it seemed like just yesterday he was at Nebraska. Now he's at Texas A&M. And then Ross Bjork was at Texas A&M. A little shuffling here, a little two-step. He recently told the Bryan College Station Eagle schools could be adding $15 to $20 million to their budgets annually for what he termed a new expense category in college athletics. What's uncertain for now are the mechanics of how this could work. Do the schools buy the NIL of their athletes? How is Title IX going to be impacted? Like a thousand things to sort through.
It's never going to be perfect.
Whatever it means, it means that there's going to be more compensation coming to players.
Which is good.
That's what it means.
Which is good for them. Now, do they do back pay? Because
that's what they're talking about a little bit.
They doing back pay? How long?
The settlement? I don't know.
How far are they going back with this?
Did I ever play college football?
I could have sworn I had the time. I spent it to the video game. It's going to be worth something.
If they want to go back 10 years, you know, that I make the cut. So man,
I could have sworn, if you check some of the records at KU, I was on the team for a couple of years there.
We could probably find a Tim Hall. That's a pretty popular name, I would imagine. Tim Hall.
Fourth string quarterback behind Todd Reesing.
Legend.
Old Ohio State offensive coordinator Ed Warner was banging.
They really talking for the about, Jayhawks. Is it really saying a back pay?
Listen, with the settlement expected to cost billions in back pay for former athletes, it would likely also require the NCAA and conferences to agree to a system for sharing more revenue with some of the players moving forward. This is going to bring about an entirely new business structure.
And here I was reading about how the Big Two is about to branch off and do their own thing. Big Ten and SEC.
That's why it's still coming.
I think it makes it more likely,
honestly.
Making it smaller, they would be able to keep all of that money where it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I understand, why that could still be something that they like. Or they could create two divisions, right? Where you've got the Big Ten and the SEC, and then whatever's left from the Big 12 and the ACC. And you almost have like a, you know, the champ of each plays each other for the college football.
Yeah, I mean, championship. I don't think.
Could be a little bit of a.
I don't even think it's going to be like a Big Ten SEC per se. It'll be most of the schools in those two conferences as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like whatever's next, it'll be the top, you know, 50, 60 schools, give or take. And a lot of those schools, like I said, are in the Big Ten and SEC
now. So we're going to keep taking the ones we like from the Big 12 and the ACC currently.
Top half of the Big 12, top half of the ACC, Notre Dame, and there you go.
Yeah. What's going to suck is what the rest of that college football looks like.
Oh, it's terrible for the sport.
That will just be
like
dead.
The Big 12.
Well, no, whatever.
The ACC.
Yeah, I mean, if the Big 12 name is going to go bye bye, or if it's going to remain, but it's just going to be something stupid like what the Pac 12 is going to become. What is
the two pack?
The two pack,
not funny. The two pack.
Mm.
That's funny.
What is that going to become?
I guess they'll just merge with the Mountain West.
Yeah, and why don't they pick up all the UC schools? You know, they've got the one conference out there. Yeah. It's UC this, UC Santa that, Barbara. UC this, UC that. The Big West, maybe.
Everybody, yeah.
West Side.
I mean, honestly, if you're a Big Ten school or an SEC school like Vanderbilt or Rutgers, I don't know if I'd be feeling great about all this either.
Mm. All right. Well, really, really interesting headline today for college sports and what that means. I know we got a quarterback thing coming up here.
We're stretching, and you're a kicker.
Leg to hand.
Were you on the field when Kerry Combs yelled that? No.
I'm not sure. Who was he talking to?
Where did you just go right there?
Who was he talking to?
He was yelling at a kicker. Clearly.
I'm trying to think.
He said,
you're stretching, and you're a kicker. I'm trying to think who the kicker was. Nurenheimer,
sure.
He didn't say that.
Nurenberger. Nurenheimer?
Isn't that his name?
No.
Is Nurenberger?
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah.
Hey, it's been a while. Make the kick. Make the kick.
Did he miss a big kick?
I tell you what, he made me nervous at times.
Who missed the Georgia kick?
Get him
that was
no,
that
was
oh,
yeah, yeah, that was no, yeah, that was years. Yeah.
You know what gone. Though? He almost made it.
It was pretty close.
It was close.
Yo.
60 yards to the left.
that kick was like usually, you know.
At least you knew you missed it the second it left his foot.
That's the thing that made it so bad. Like usually you see a kick and it like curve at the end. Like this one
was curved. As soon as I was kicked. That was a Scotty Vegas. If you're gonna miss, you might as well just miss.
Just kick it out of the stadium. Yeah, just hook it right into the left bleachers.
Horns.
All right, what's Dylan Raiola doing,
right, Tim? We have two coaches on this show that we absolutely love: Herb Brooks and this guy right here.
This is kind of what you get when you hire me. You know what I'm saying? Like this is what you kind of get. Like
so, what you get? 5-win season. Well, they might actually win more than 5 games this year if Dylan Raiola lives up to the hype.
Hey man,
they have some pretty
leave
big,
him alone. Matt rules.
Yeah, they have some pretty big expectations heading into year two there. Relatively speaking, of course, they're not going to necessarily make the playoff, but a part of that is because of the former 5-star recruit Dylan Raiola. He dazzled on Saturday in their spring game.
Ah.
He went 16-22 for 239 yards and 2 touchdowns. If he lives up to the hype,
he looked pretty good.
I mean, the Cornhuskers.
I watched some of the highlights, and again, take it with a grain of salt. It's a spring game.
Why did they do it so late? Was my question.
I don't know.
Because I was looking at it like, is this real?
It's not that late. It's still April.
It's like 2 weeks after ours.
So?
What do you mean?
No one makes you get to do it whenever you want.
Wow.
It's your spring football.
Okay.
There's no like.
Are they on like
set box?
Are they on like
quarters? You must start here and you must finish there.
They're not on like quarters or something.
I'm not sure how they're. Academic calendar looks at Nebraska.
So now they got less time to recover.
Get to the portal?
Yeah, that too. That's actually pretty messed up, actually.
Keeps them going from going to the
mastermind plan.
Yeah, that schedule.
Make the portal the last day is the...
2 days after the spring game.
Right.
Matt Rhule and watching his guys bolt to the portal kind of clash.
Yeah.
He didn't like that. He didn't want him to do that. All right. Thank you, Bodie.
Thank you, Tim.
Good to see Dylan Raiola. Yeah, the ball was coming out pretty good. He threw that nice little touch pass. And
I mean, he's always
dotting guys right on the spot.
He's always been talented.
You better be if you're going to be that highly rated of a guy. We've got some roster news on this Buckeye football team today. Speaking of that portal, how big of a deal is it? We'll find out next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
The Fan. Stickers on helmets make us happy. This is the Buckeye Show.
Timmy and Tyvus, happy Tuesday. Happy anniversary to my lovely wife. Show is dedicated to her. Gonna have a lovely dinner right after the show is done. We're bringing our son along, too. Is that weird?
No, that's what you... Isn't he old enough to stay at home alone?
Well, he is, but it's also kind of just the way we do things as a three-person family.
Mm.
It works. I know he would appreciate a nice meal with his parents. Mm. And we wouldn't want to leave him home this late alone. He's also kind of in that medium range. We would leave him at home for a couple hours, fine, broad daylight. But I don't know if late at night when it's dark on a school night.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm just trying to make the best decision. I mean, my parents are out of town anyway, so come along, you know?
It doesn't matter.
I just told him, I said, you know, this is our anniversary dinner, so let's be cool. Let's be cool. Let's be calm, cool, chill.
He's buying, right?
He should be buying. There should be a few
guys. You guys have brought him on this earth.
I will tell you that my wife does enjoy going out to dinner sometimes without the kids.
I understand that. So, yes. Yeah.
As long as there's a balance. You know,
a little bit of a balance,
with, sometimes not, sometimes with.
He's of the age, though, where we're not babysitting.
Okay.
We're not babysitting.
What is he?
He's another.
What is he? 12? He's
12 going on 13.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a mature kid. He will like this place. I know where we're going. Yeah. He's going to like some things on the menu.
At that age, I
get a nice dinner, man. You know,
I pretty much run the house by myself at that age.
I basically say appreciate this, you know, because I had a sister and we weren't going out on, you know, date nights like that with mom and dad. And it's not to say that we don't do that.
Yeah.
We did that a couple weeks ago. Didn't have him with.
You and your sister didn't get to go with your parents?
It's Tuesday night, you know? It's Tuesday night and we're going out to dinner.
Right there, y'all make y'all some peanut butter and jelly or something. While we go get us a steak.
Oh, man. I'd be going for a little Italian tonight.
Ooh.
Where
are you going?
The flavor.
Marcello's?
A place called... No, Marcello's really good. Really good. Been there. Bistro Lino. It's this place over North German Village.
Okay,
tell me. Right on Livingston and 4th.
You've been there before?
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
And I don't think the prices are out of whack at all for being a nicer upscale place.
I gotta find me some new restaurants to take my wife to.
Yeah. The place is very, very small, so you'll need to get a reservation. But I like that about it. There's like 6 tables in there. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very intimate.
Yeah. But yeah, the pasta dishes are like less than $20.
That means you'll get your food pizzas. Like that.
Well, they take their time in cooking it for you. They're not rushing you through the process, you know? Like, they know you've come here to relax, to hang out for a bit. They're not trying to serve you your food in 5 or 10 minutes.
How long do you, when you go out to eat, how long are you usually out?
For something like that, it would certainly be an hour, like in the restaurant.
Okay. Me and my wife is very fast.
Yeah?
Like we sit down.
I get it. You got two young girls. It's always like a time bomb, right? It's in the back of your mind, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's like, is the kids okay? Knowing we got a good babysitter, or sometimes it's even their grandmother. So it's like they're fine, but it's just like I'm so used to like speeding things up. Plus, I'm a fast eater anyways.
I know how you feel. So we have some portal news here. Tyvus, the good news is everything that's happened so far for Buckeye football, it hasn't been of the large scale variety. I would still say to this point, is Jihad Carter, well, Dallin Hayden.
Yeah.
Although we could have this debate because Dallin Hayden was a really good player, but they didn't seem to ever feel comfortable just letting him loose or putting him up near the top of that depth chart.
Yeah.
There had to be injuries to let Dallin loose. And I think he got tired of that in the red shirt happening.
I think that somebody like James Peoples probably comes in.
Yep.
And then on top of that, you get a new coach right in the middle of everything. And now, you know, he might like James Peoples more than you. And so now you look at yourself now, instead of being third on the depth chart, now you look like you fourth. So it's like, yeah, I got to get out of here.
Well, you wanted to talk about the offensive line earlier this week, and you're losing Enoch Vimahi. And I was blown away. Do you realize that with Enoch Vimahi going into the portal, he was once a top 120 overall recruit, a 4-star offensive lineman, a big kid, you know, 6'2", 6'3",
I like him.
Over 310 pounds.
I did some business.
Good
with
guy,
him.
Yeah, right?
I handled business with him a couple of times.
Good guy from the island out there, and... He didn't he didn't hit that potential.
Yeah.
Like there was potential there. And we have seen from some of these old lines the last couple of years, there has been room to come in and dominate.
Oh, there's like, a lot of opportunity.
If you are that dude,
there's a lot of opportunity.
There were chances. If you could have been, like you said, had that edge, had that nastiness, mean streak to you.
Last year.
Could have been done.
Last year, maybe not, because you had Donovan. He played guard. So you had Donovan and you had.
And Matt Jones.
So those two were pretty solidified. It was the other three positions that was up for
grabs. Yeah, he was already a fourth-year guy, though. Yeah, and again, if you were going to get your shot, you would have been showing something your second year in the program.
This year,
you were going to be
coming out of spring, and in his situation, what is his fourth year, fifth year?
I believe he'd be going into his sixth year, because he was in the class of 2019.
Oh, wow.
The last remaining player from the class of 2019.
So yeah,
going
into this year, if you're not in the battle for that guard spot, like,
oh, it's done. Like, he's got one year left.
You got to go somewhere where you could play.
1 year left, and he had offers from Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Washington. He chose Ohio State over schools like that. So Vamahi's gone, and another one comes down. Again, not going to be a killer for Ohio State, but when you're looking at linebackers, I've got some thoughts on where this position group is going over the next couple of years and some of the guys that I've kind of circled. I mean, we like Sonny Styles a lot coming down to that position group. Cody Simon has been
he's been great.
A very reliable and underrated player. And
I know I got some business with him and good. I need to talk to him. So
okay. Yeah. We'll do it, man. Do business.
Yeah, I need to do business with him.
Arvell Reese.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a star.
Yes, he is.
He's going to be a superstar.
Glenville linebacker. Kid.
Yep.
He got that edge and that nastiness,
too. Oh, he does, man.
He'll run through a brick wall.
Watched him, like, four reps in a silly spring practice. And I just said, yep, he's wearing his guardian cap. Who's that guy?
He want to be like me.
That guy. He's got a motor. He wants to hit something.
You know what?
I want that.
He might be one of those linebackers that transitions to, like, a edge guy. Like,
fine.
Stand up.
Get him on the field.
Send him on blitzes and stuff.
Get him on
like
the
that.
Field. Nigel Glover, sophomore, he hits the portal. So he'll be looking for a new home.
Didn't he just get
this offseason? He's a sophomore.
He just got here last year from Northwestern, right?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, he was part of that Pat Fitzgerald situation there. Transferred to Ohio State before last season. And now he is going back out.
Find out fast here, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
But today is the last day to enter the portal. I think it's me and Bodie looked it up. I think it's today.
Mm-hmm. So that's why.
So if you go make that decision, you got to do it today.
And maybe we might still find out about some of the stuff tomorrow that, you know, when you actually go and take a peek and find out whose name got put in there right before the deadline. And then you see it trickle out over the next day. But two guys, and look, I still say, when you look at it as a whole and all the talent on this team and not that many, you know, snap counts to go around or not, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Only so much football to go around on offense and
you just
all the talent on this defense and so many guys that could have gone to the draft came back. It's tough to see a spot
right
in
there,
2024.
That right there messed up a lot of things for, you know, younger guys, which I said at the time, like, a lot of younger guys is probably going to be upset about this because it was supposed to be their moment. But the only thing that worries me about, you know, losing guys that goes to the transfer portal is that, you know, the season is longer now. So you need those depth pieces because injuries is a part of this thing. Somebody's going to get banged up. Somebody's going to have to step in there and make some plays. And you will rather have some guys that's been in the program that understands everything that's going on going in there rather than having to rely on freshmen all the time.
All right. Were you wondering why Felix Okpara, in fact, left Ohio State the way he did?
Yep.
Was it really hurt feelings from a Kentucky big man coming in? Felix has spoken. We'll give you some of the answers next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. College radio done by professionals. This is the Buckeye Show.
Timmy and Tyvus, hope you guys are having a good Tuesday. Again, we have something new here on the show. It's our Buckeye Show voicemail. Put this number in your phone. Use it. whenever you got something that you got to get off your chest, your wife or your husband or whoever does not want to hear you yelling about the Buckeyes anymore. You're trying to watch, you know, Breaking Bad for the sixth time and there's no more football talk to be had. Yell it into the phone. Go into the other room and yell it into the phone. 614-460-2896. Let's see here. Let's see. We've got some that have chimed in already. This is what I'm talking about. I'm calling this fellow the Braxton guy. And remember to put your name on it when you give us a call. Let's see what Braxton guy had to say.
My guys, Kimmy, Tyvis. Hey, speaking of Braxton Miller, you know, something that I can never forget, and I will never forget. It wasn't even a fun season, but what a play. And that was Braxton Miller to Devin Smith at night in the shoe against Wisconsin, against Burt, against Mr. Unlimited. They were pretty highly ranked. Nobody really thought we had a shot in that game. And, I mean, that's one of the most electric I've ever heard the shoe in quite some time, as long as I can remember. So that one always sticks in my head. And then how can we forget the spin move against Virginia Tech? I mean, my goodness. I remember before that season, everybody was talking about Cardale versus JT, and then Braxton comes out with that spin move, and that's all everybody wanted to talk about after the game. So appreciate it. Keep up the good work. And, yeah, guys, football will be here in, what, 3, 4, or 5 months? But who's counting?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Braxton guy. You thought that was me at first when we listened to it. The guy did kind of sound like me.
Timmy,
Tyvis, how you guys doing? I got to let him say the talk. Yeah. We're actually watching all the stupid Adam Sandler movies.
Did you watch Eight Crazy Nights?
No, I didn't watch that one.
That's a
so
class.
We're right now what's in the hopper. And this is something that's just good, stupid fun that, you know, the three of us can watch together.
Mm-hmm.
And we just laugh our asses off. I pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Oh, yeah.
That's on the tube right now. We're right in the middle of it. And this will sound stupid. Look, I know this is as empty calories get. They're going to get like 10% Rotten Tomatoes, whatever. There's grown-ups. But
that's a funny movie.
Grown-ups 2.
Oh, it's been on TV for the past couple of nights.
I'd never seen Grown-ups 2.
Oh, really?
It's
where they get in the wheel and he push him down the wheel and he gets throws up everywhere.
Shaq is in Grown-ups. I didn't know Shaq was in Grown-ups 2.
I was just
watching. He's like sleeping in a little kid's house, like in the backyard.
I was just watching that movie like 2 days ago.
It is so funny. It's so dumb and so funny that he like touches the raft in the department store and the thing just blows up, pops out. It's like 30 feet long.
And the one guy scared of his son.
it's so dumb, hilarious, but so good movie. It's Adam Sandler flicks. We showed him Happy Gilmore. He's done Billy Madison already.
So
we're making our way. But you were on the field we talked about, you know, offensive plays that have been burned into our minds.
Mm-hmm.
You were on the field for both of those that he mentioned, right?
I was.
The Brax spin.
Well, come on.
What were you guys yelling on the Brax spin play, 2015? The payback game against Virginia Tech.
You know what
Virginia
I said? Well, everybody said, he's back. He's back. That's what everybody was saying.
He doesn't need to be a quarterback,
obviously,
baby.
He was injured that whole year before, and we was like, oh, yeah, he back for sure. But the funniest part about that is that if you go back and watch the spin, Zeke blows the guy up behind him. And no, I had no idea until we pointed it out in team meeting. Like, look behind Braxton on that play and watch Zeke try to lay this dude out. Oh, man. It was some really good, talented players back then, man. It was a lot of highlights.
Did Zeke get him?
I don't know if the guy failed, but he sure tried.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, the guy took it pretty well. He actually took the hit pretty well.
Yeah.
He did clock him, though. Would they call that a penalty in today's college football? Today's college football.
Yes.
It is 2015.
100%.
Crackback block. That looked clean to me. Oh, man. Just something else. Well, and he mentioned the Wisconsin. Going up against Mr. Unlimited.
I was in high school for that one. I remember I came down. It was a night game. Might have been homecoming, maybe. And I remember just watching that game, and he threw that Hail Mary up. And I remember, I'm a recruit now. At this time, I'm already committed at this time. And I remember just storming the field after this with all of the fans. And it was just like, yeah, I can't wait to be here. Like, it was such a surreal feeling.
All right, some Buckeye basketball. We got to finish up this team. Buckeye men's hoops. We've got to get a couple of scholarship players.
Shooters.
Just good players now. I'm concerned with just good players. And yes, I would love to see a 40% next to their three-point shooting. So Felix Okpara talked to Jardy, talked to Adam with the Columbus Dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to know some of what was up. Why? Why did this happen? We know about, you know, his family being in Tennessee and how he played high school hoops there in the state of Tennessee. And they're a great program, right? You get a shot to join up with Rick Barnes and what they have been building there and the runs they've been making in the tournament. It's easy to understand why you would want to take an opportunity there. They're ahead of Ohio State right now.
Yeah.
It's called what it is.
Yep.
And they shouldn't be. They absolutely shouldn't be ever, but they are. They're emphatically ahead of Ohio State right now with what they're doing. So he said, address the elephant in the room about Aaron Bradshaw, big 7'1" guy from Kentucky coming in. He said, no, wasn't that. And you can maybe not believe every bit of that because he's already gone anyway. So you can kind of, you know, could tailor your reasons as to why it could have been part of it. But what he said, me and Aaron, we're completely different players. It really had nothing to do with him. And Adam writes, he said, instead, Felix outlined a stressful series of events that took him from an emotional end to his sophomore season to a move to the Volunteers with a public recommitment to Ohio State sandwiched in between, as we know that we call the sacred graphic, right? When you write it, put it out there on social media, you're back, baby. The Buckeyes bowed out of a tumultuous season with a 2-point loss to Georgia that kind of went back and forth. It was a wild game that was in the quarters of the NIT. It would have been really nice to get that trip to the Final Four of the NIT.
Yeah.
As disastrous as the season got, that saw Chris Holtmann get fired. He went on and said that it was really about everyone leaving. So he wrote that post.
What do you mean everybody leaving?
Listen, he wrote that post. This is what he says. Later that day, Scotty Middleton's in the portal. Then on April 3rd, Roddy Gale announced that he was too. 2 days later, Zed Key announced the same, even though it felt like he was going anyway. He said, I decided to come back. Then guys started leaving. At that point, I didn't feel like I really made the best decision for myself. I was going off what other people were doing. My family, we talked a lot, and they're like, we've got to do what's best for you. You have 2 more years of college basketball. You have to make the best for it. Bradshaw didn't really have anything to do with this. When I committed to come back, then when everyone started leaving, I started questioning. That had been going on for like a week before Bradshaw even committed. You buying that? I mean, you still could have had a great run here at Ohio State. I don't think the future was bleak here for Felix with what he had earned. That's what he's earned here tonight. Like, he was the guy for a couple years. Bradshaw was going to be a factor too, but Felix was certainly going to play and be a really good player on this basketball team for the next 2 years.
I don't know. That don't sound like 100% everything to me.
I agree.
Because it's like,
this is the game now.
Yeah, like,
this is the game.
You know everybody's going to hit guys are going to hit the portal, but I don't understand what that got to do with you, because you are a solid piece. You're starting. You're the starting five, no matter what.
It's as simple as I could go to Tennessee.
Clearly.
Right?
Like, I want to be
like, not like, nothing I, against like Jake or anybody.
That's the only thing.
So I could go to Tennessee.
So just say that then. Say that I felt like the better opportunity for me to up my game was to go to Tennessee. Like, say that. But don't.
Not with guys leaving.
Yeah, that don't got nothing to do with you. Like, I could see if you was like,
you got Michi Johnson.
Yeah.
You got a good potential piece and a 7'1" guy to play with.
Yeah,
if you're calling it that,
that's
you're saying that it's not the center that's pushing you out.
Just tell it like it is. I want to go to Tennessee because I think Tennessee is going to help me get better as a player, and I believe in their coaching staff. Just say that
it's Tennessee. Like,
that's fine.
They've been better than Ohio State.
I don't need you saying that though. Like, that don't even make sense.
Struck a nerve with Tyvus.
It did, because I don't like when
I
don't like when people beat around the bush. I'm a straight shooter. Like, I'm just tell you exactly what it is. I'll say it for you. You didn't believe in Jake Diebler in Ohio State. You wanted to play for Tennessee. You probably grew up a Tennessee fan. Probably wanted to play for Tennessee. The opportunity came. They threw you a couple dollars, and you said bet.
Bet. Let's do it. We'll see how he goes. We'll see how he does. He's got to work on his offensive game.
Yeah.
I really liked what he was showing, some glimpses here, working on some of those low post moves. Clearly has work to do, but you know, great defensive piece, obviously. And I did not want to lose him. Was not a guy that I just wanted to see walk. And you put this time and the resources and the coaching and the development, and then every single year, you've got to sort of win your team back over. And the Buckeyes lost out on Trey Townsend. And just yesterday, man, they lost the 6'9" Central Arkansas kid. The 6'9" shooter. Lost him. He goes to Utah State.
Why?
Two big targets.
Why?
Missed out on them.
Why Utah State?
Back to the board, man.
Over Ohio State, you went to Utah State?
They got great ice cream up there in Logan.
I ain't hearing it.
I've had it.
I ain't hearing it.
Beautiful spot. You can kind of get lost out there. Utah State. I almost went to school there. Would have never known you.
Not doubt it.
Would have been doing sports talk in Salt Lake City. Would have been doing Real Salt Lake soccer games. That would have been my life. Instead, I'm here with you guys. The very best with the Bucks on the social fronts. And I saw that we're the very best at one specific thing. And I'll tell you about that as we look at some hashtags. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
This promo is brought to you by Common Man and Timmy Hall's Ping Pong Game. The Fan. Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by The Waterworks. Trust the pros at The Waterworks for all your plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling needs. Visit thewaterworks.com today to get started.
All right, now this tweet in particular, this post in particular, it's about us. It's about the Buckeyes being the best at something, but you could also make a great case for it. I saw this post. It's from their own account. It's a great account, right? It's one of the best in college football at Ohio State FB. Mm-hmm. And it's just got a nice, pretty graphic there. You were telling me a story about graphics earlier today. This one says number one uniform in college football. Scarlet and gray. Shiny helmets.
Not shocked.
In the sunshine.
Not shocked by this at all.
Yeah, it says it's a 24/7 sports uniform list.
They voted
I don't have the list, though, and they didn't even put the link to it. It's just in the tweet. So it's the Buckeyes right there.
I mean, listen, that's
good. You think of the best uniforms,
it's
though.
It's a legendary uniform. That's what it is. That's what I love about it. You put that on, everybody knows who it is and what it is.
What are some that come to mind other than the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Legendary uniforms?
Yeah, legendary uniforms. Some of the best, most classic in college football. And yeah, I mean,
you got to say their rivals.
I would agree.
The Oregon Ducks.
I would agree.
Even though they changed theirs. Notre Dame. Notre Dame is very iconic because of that blue and gold.
Where are you with Oklahoma? I think Oklahoma is very crisp, very, very classic, that maroon and white.
They need to just stop wearing the alternates.
No
in
alternates.
In my opinion. Yeah. No alternates. High State doesn't either.
Texas.
Neither does Notre Dame.
Texas, okay? Whoa. Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, burnt orange.
The burnt orange, yeah, crisp legendary. White. It's very legendary.
The Gators.
Florida?
Yeah.
Florida's never legendary. Never really went wild, not gaga over that.
I can't stand them, but Southern Cal's, you know.
Yeah, USC.
That's like because they beat y'all every year?
He said the rival.
We beat them by 4 touchdowns last year, and we've beaten them 5 out of the last 6 years.
But what was the score last year?
48-20.
There you go. Bing!
He's hilarious. What about Stanford?
What do you mean Stanford?
Yeah, Stanford doesn't really.
Yeah, it doesn't move the needle enough.
They got a clean look.
Uniform's okay.
Trying to think of
USC's one of the few, maybe if only.
UCLA.
Eh.
You don't like that?
Eh. No.
What about North Carolina? The powder blue.
I'm the wrong
basketball.
Wrong guy to ask.
Excuse me. Kansas.
I will say, if you take a look at their football uniforms lately, they got back.
Really?
They got back to what they should be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's much, much better. If you pop on one of their games, they've just been stupid with them for a long time. For a long time, they weren't even wearing the correct shade of blue. They just decided to wear navy blue uniforms.
Yeah, they were doing that.
What are you doing? That's not our colors. Like, why? I don't get it. I don't know.
USC, I think, is like the only school who still does like the black cleats and everybody wears them and like the white socks.
It's a good look. That? You can't do that.
Why not?
That's a fashion. That's terrible. You can't wear white socks with black shoes.
Looks good on
them.
The
shoes have to match. The socks match the color of the shoes every time. You wearing black shoes, you wear black socks.
If that's the case, bucking a lot of guys trend. Are breaking that rule.
Oh, yeah, bucking the trend.
Oh, yeah,
who is this again, Bodie?
Did I not tell you the
story? Who's doing this again?
Southern Cal.
Did I USC. Not tell you the story behind that? Let me quick story. I got 2 minutes. Let me tell you the quick story. So I was in Seattle, and I went out there, and I had black shoe, black cleats, and I put on white socks. And before I walked out the locker room, Richard Sherman was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting ready to go to practice." He said, "No, you're not." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You're not about to wear no white socks with black cleats." And I said,
"You look like an idiot, Tyvus."
I said, "What you got to think, Tim. I'm an undrafted rookie. This is what the equipment people gave me, you know?
I'm wearing Hanes socks."
This man took grabbed me by the hand and said, "Come on, walk in here." Walked in the equipment room and said, "Get this man some black socks." I didn't know it was that big of a deal until that day. So there you go. You can't do that. Apparently.
Let me give you one more from the Buckeye Show voicemail on plays that are burned into your mind. What do we got here?
Hey, this is Danny from a little town called Mount Perry, Ohio. I don't have a particular play in mind, but I just want to tell you what stuck in my brain about offensive plays is Mr. Reliable, Anthony Gonzalez. Can we get some Anthony Gonzalez sound? Anything from him? There's too many plays to try to remember. He is just Mr. Reliable. He catches everything. He got the hard yardage. Let's give Anthony Gonzalez some sound bites.
I can tell you the play. It lives in me. I'm trying to see if I can get it right here. But the play is 2005. Ah, yeah, here it is. It's Troy to Anthony, 2005, Ohio State, Michigan. It was legendary. And then they scored with Antonio Pittman, our guy. Columbus's finest, the firefighter, punched in. They won that game, I think, 25-21.
Snap to Smith. Back at the 38, looking to throw. Now Smith running, eludes a defender, rolling right side. Throws long for Gonzalez. Got it at the 4, and he's tackled by Mason inside the 5.
I mean, he went up and sold out his body. And what a play by Troy Smith to break out of the pocket. Oh, that was good. Oh,
man.
That was good.
Love that. First round pick to Gonzalez.
Tyvus, where can they listen if they missed any of the show?
They can go to their podcast, wherever they get their podcast, 10 minutes after the show is over and download the Buckeye Show.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing to do. Everybody have a good night. Go Cavs tonight. Little thing called You'll See. Actually, some Browns draft review coming up next on The Fan.
Common Man has spent the past 18 years telling you how much he hates people. And yes, that probably means you, too. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.